Hello again. This is Eric Sinrod along with my partner, Jonathan Armstrong. I'm based here in the San Francisco office of Duane Morris. Jonathan, where are you?
I'm in London on the banks of the Thames. The sun is shining, and it's a gorgeous day here.
Well, how about that? I'm on the San Francisco Bay side, and it's sunny and gorgeous here, too. We're here with our regular Tech Law 10 broadcast for you, where the information technology and the law intersect. And I always think of Jonathan as a super lawyer, so I suppose super is the operative word for the day. And Jonathan, I know you have some thoughts with respect to super injunctions. So what can you enlighten us about?
That's very kind, Eric. Thanks very much. Yeah, I'm vexed is probably the right old-fashioned English word. I'm vexed today about super injunctions. So they're headline news over here in the UK. And for those of you who don't know what they are, a super injunction is generally obtained by a celebrity, and it stops people talking about their private life in general terms. But more than that, you can't report the fact that you can't talk about them because of a super injunction. And this seems to me to be difficult for a number of reasons. Firstly, these injunctions are served on some people but not others. So question whether they ought to be served on somebody to be effective against them. Secondly, in some cases, the individuals concerned do lead a very publicly moral life whilst leading a very sordid private life, if some of these rumors are to be believed. And thirdly, the worry that's really come to the fore over the weekend is that seemingly innocent celebrities are suffering because of the speculation about these injunctions. So maybe something like 30 or 40 super injunctions are currently active in the UK, and people just speculate as to the individuals involved. Jemima Goldsmith, the prominent socialite in the UK, has been linked with rumors suggesting that she has had an affair with a prominent TV celebrity who I think would be known to those of us on both sides of the pond. And Jemima has said that this rumor is pretty hurtful because she is friends with the celebrity involved, but she's also friends with the celebrity's wife. And she says there's no truth in these rumors. And whilst, she knows the people well enough that they can meet, have dinner, and laugh about it, others aren't in the same position. And we've had another prominent sports anchor here in the UK who's female, who has had some fairly graphic rumors about her, let's say, after-match activity with another pundit who's a former player. And she says that that's been very hurtful to her, that her children have had comments made at school, that her husband gets people saying to him that they, sympathize with the fact that his wife's unfaithful. And she says that she's in a very difficult position because she can't prove it's not her. She can't say who she thinks it is because the super injunction prohibits her because she's on mainstream media making any comment about it. And at the same time, she can't, disprove an affair almost. It's very difficult, isn't it, to say, how do you prove fidelity in your marriage? So there's a lot of activity around this at the moment. And we've had two interesting results in the case of some of these super injunctions, one of which was obtained by a company to prohibit people talking about the way that company behaves. A member of parliament asked questions about the super injunction in parliament. And the effect of that is that the newspapers are allowed to report on the questions that are asked in parliament, although they can't necessarily report on the substance of the injunction. And in a second case, we had a well-known news journalist here who had almost like a fit of conscience. He had obtained a super injunction, the super injunction had been challenged by a rival journalist organization, and that individual involved, a BBC news journalist, went on air live and said, yep, it was me. I did have an affair with somebody. I've patched my marriage up. I did obtain a super injunction, but I now think that they're wrong, and I want to come clean, and I want to apologize to my wife and my family, and apologize in some respects to the journalist community for sort of taking legal action against my own profession. So I think it's a very interesting development here. It obviously relies on privacy law and these conflicts between a journalist's right to report on stories versus the individual's right to personal privacy. And I wonder if you have anything similar in the U.S., Eric, or if you have any views on any of that.
Well, I have views for sure, and I can comment on whether there's anything similar as well. I mean, to me, this is relatively surprising, and I wouldn't see that being the case in the United States. For one, you know, celebrities of anybody are regarded to have less privacy because by virtue of being a celebrity, they've put themselves out there, and it's much more difficult for them to say, you know, my private life shouldn't be intruded when they're known by all. And part of the reason why they're famous and they make a lot of money is because they're trading on their personality, if you will. Also, you know, when it comes to free speech rights and privacy rights in the United States, I mean, historically, we've been more protective of speech. You know, it's built into our Constitution in the First Amendment. Europe is more protective of privacy, generally speaking. You know, Europe's an opt-in culture. We're an opt-out culture, and that's a subject of a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to chill free speech in advance is very difficult to obtain in the United States. It's what we call a prior restraint. If somebody speaks evil of you and it's false and it causes you actual damage, you can seek, you know, monetary damages for defamation. But to actually chill future speech is extremely difficult to obtain here. And I'm not aware of anything like a super injunction. And I'm curious, I know we're running out of time, but I'm curious sort of what the mechanism is to allow this to be put in place in the United Kingdom. It sounds like almost some sort of secret star chamber that comes up with this, and it's not fairly well understood or known. And I've never heard of such a thing here in the United States.
No, and it's been possible for a long time to get injunctions like this. And there have also been informal ways of doing this. I mean, I was involved in a case way back when, let's say 15 years ago, where we wanted to, I don't want to use the word suppress, but we wanted a story not to be reported. But trust me, I can't tell you the reasons why, but for the very best of reasons, the value of running the story would have been outweighed by the consequences to a number of individuals. And we could prove that. We went to great lengths to have, you know, clinical diagnoses which backed that up. And we explained to various media involved what the issues were. I personally found them to be very sympathetic in this very extreme case. So I think there has, for the longest time, been a dialogue between individuals and the press, but injunctions have always been a last resort. I think most people think that injunctions should be available because obviously it's very hard to repair the damage by monetary damages once it's been done. But at the same time, you have to question whether these injunctions should be so prohibitive that you can't even mention the fact that that an injunction has been obtained or who's obtained it.
Well, that's right. I think it's not unusual in our country. Every once in a while, it's very unfortunate, but a celebrity will have a stalker and somebody who's not only perhaps saying negative things about the celebrity, but actually potentially presenting a real physical danger to the celebrity. And then an injunction will be put in place because it's much more important, at least it's perceived, to prevent physical harm than evil words. But still, when those injunctions happen, they're known. They're in the press. Everybody knows about it. And maybe that's a good thing because then we could all sort of be the eyes and ears on the ground, making sure this person stays in his or her proper place and doesn't harm the celebrity. I don't know. Well,
yeah.
I think we're rounding out our time. Do you have any final thoughts, Jonathan, or should we wrap it up?
No, I think it's been a big week for technology and the law. I mean, we could have talked about the UK rules on cookies changing. We could have talked about the Cerny hack, and they're probably subjects that we're going to come back to in the coming weeks. So it's been a very busy week. Thank you for listening. We've tried to pick one topic. Always happy to have your suggestions for others. You can email me at jparmstrong@dwaynemorris.com. And Eric?
And I'm at ejsinrod@dwaynemorris.com. And you can find both of us ubiquitously on the Internet at Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, et cetera. So that being said, from San Francisco and London, where the sun always shines, well, maybe not always in London, we bid you adieu, and we'll catch you the next time. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Thank you.